Hey everybody, it's Johnny C here, Utah Music Radio. We are here in the Cat's Den, and today we have Aurelian.
I knew
immediately, and I asked even, I said I would blow it the first time out.
That's okay.
And then we have Tony Toscano here.
I don't know why, but I'm here.
Because we love you.
Yeah.
That is the absolute main reason.
Thank you.
No, you two are actually working together.
Yeah.
You're putting some things together. You're actually going to Dallas here. But, you know, we'll talk about that in a minute. You know, we'll get into all of that stuff. But let's start off here. Let's talk a little bit about you and how you got started. Let's start with the name. Yeah. Where did the name come from?
Well, the name is actually meaning golden light irradiating from within. And it was something that was chosen for me by multiple friends that were in South Korea. And it found deep meaning for me. And I just loved what the meaning stood for. And that's what my music represents, is radiating light from within and helping people to radiate themselves back out.
That's awesome. Yeah. And that's while you were in Korea.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you start here? Were you from Utah and moved out there? Where did you come from, and how'd you get to Korea, and how are you here now? Like, let's take that journey on let's start with the journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I was originally, during the head of the pandemic, I was in school at Southern Utah University studying aviation. And when the pandemic hit, it really made some difficulties for a lot of people. And so I took an internship in Hawaii. And I moved out to Hawaii, and one thing led to the next, and in trying to deal with the pandemic and some health issues that it created for me, I started looking for ways to heal myself, and that led me to Istanbul, Turkey, and to Malaysia, where I worked with functional medicine doctors, and then I was just very blessed in my time in Korea to meet the proper mentors that led to all of this.
And so now, let's get into a little bit of the music. What drew you to that style of music? Did you grow up listening to it? Was it like, what was it that all of a sudden you're like, this is resonating with me?
Yeah. Well, I always loved K-pop in general because of the meanings that are put behind it. And then trap and pop together is a way of really putting a message out there. And I think a lot of people would probably resonate with this recently because of K-pop Demon Hunters. I think that's
still like number one, isn't
it,
on Netflix, like after 8 weeks?
This is something that has allowed people abroad to finally see, you know, they talk about the Hanum and how it touches the heart. And there's multi-layers in the music, right? And that's ultimately what I trained for when I was in South Korea, was I learned how to multi-layer the meaning of the music in a way that it touches individuals at the heart center.
Nice. Okay. And so what was the catalyst behind that? We were talking a little bit earlier before we got started. It started with karaoke.
It did.
That's actually pretty cool. Did you have any musical training before that, or were you just zero?
Yeah, I just loved when I, you know, was at home. I would just sing and sing in the car and belt it out, and I think sometimes annoyed a lot of people around me. There were a lot of things that I needed to learn about singing and how to control breath work and how to do certain things. But I always believe that the music is just more than sound. Deep inside.
Absolutely.
And it's a language, right? It's a language for the soul.
I believe that, for me, my belief is that music is the most primal instinct that we have as a species. It is what creates emotions. Like, and Tony, you know this.
Yeah.
You can put music, and if it's the wrong song, if it's the wrong vibe, it just can destroy a film.
True. Mm-hmm. You know, the soundtrack to a film is the heartbeat of the film.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot of movies out there that kind of needed better soundtracks, but, you know, that's of course up to the director.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I think that it's a way that, for me, when I started creating the music, because it was the only way that I could translate things that I couldn't say out loud. The battles that I had been fighting, the love that I still carried, the hope that I refused to lose. Life hasn't always been easy, but I think that there's moments that personally I've gone through that could have broken me. And the one thing I learned years ago is that when you're going through something so extreme, you have to find the way to survive it.
Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, yeah. It makes or breaks you.
Right. But instead of letting those experiences become the horror to my life, I let them become my greatest teacher. And they've taught me how powerful art can actually be in all of this, because it's born from truth. And that's the heart of everything that I feel like I create, mm-hmm. is deeply from the truth.
So what were some of the challenges that you were going through that led to those deep, meaningful songs that you were writing?
Yeah, well, there was a season that I felt like the ground was literally shifting beneath me, right?
And well, it is the South Pacific.
Well, relationships that I trusted, they fell apart. Mm-hmm. And I faced obstacles that I never really imagined that I'd have the strength to stand through. And for me, but instead of letting those moments like define me as being something else, I decided to redefine myself through them. And they shaped the way that I write, the way that I sing, the way that I present myself even to people through the music. And it's no longer about just entertainment to me. It's about helping people find that guideline of where their healing can be. Mm-hmm. And I think that I want every lyric to remind someone that no matter really how heavy life actually gets on you, that you can actually be stronger than you think. You can actually find that road of mm-hmm. overcoming.
So what is it that, give me a song that would represent the most of what you have experienced so far. Like, I mean, you know, as a musician myself, it's hard. You know, I always ask all the musicians when, you know, there's like a band of five, and I say, what's your favorite song that you play? Yeah. And each one has kind of their own, but it's their kid, you know, it's their baby. Yeah. So which one is your favorite child so far?
Well, I would say that Glass Garden captures me the best. And the reason I say that is that it was about learning how to grow through beauty in the broken, right? Mm-hmm. And you hear people all the time talk about narcissistic personality disorders, and this is just kind of rampant in our society now. So many people talk about these unhealthy traits that others have, and mm-hmm. how they need to let the light in even when everything feels like it's shattered. And I think that that's what Glass Garden did for me. The theme that has run through my life and through my music at this point, the idea of brokenness isn't the end of the story. Mm-hmm. That the idea that it often begins with something a little bit more powerful, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's really cool. So what you're bringing to the table is inspiration and something that the listeners can relate to or hope to relate to, you know, and that's
absolutely.
What was one of the toughest songs that you've ever written? Like, what was a song that you wrote that you're just like, oh my God, this is going to take me more time than I expected? Or you just kept, you know, especially when it comes to, you know, vocal, you know, you're going to lay it out there and then you're gonna be like, no, I'm not happy with this. I have a song actually, and it was called Hello My Son Part 2. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Part 1. And I had to scream on it. And I had to... I did 111 takes.
Oh, my goodness.
Just so I could get the raspy voice. And because if you've ever tried to piss yourself off, it's pretty hard. You know, you're like trying to amp yourself up, get yourself mad so you can get that emotion out there. And I was probably at about 58, and I was like, that one probably will work. And I hit the delete button.
Oh, no.
And I said, nope, let's do it again. And I just kept going until I really just, I had tears coming out of my eyes. And it just took that amount of time. Have you run into any of those writing your music?
Not particularly for that, but I have.
I mean, not 111 times, yeah, but I mean, no. Bringing tears to your eyes, you know, where you're just like, oh, yeah. My gosh, that hit me.
Well, I would say that recently, my song that gained the most attention was America's Love Revolution. And that song, the lyrics, how it came to me, I couldn't sleep for nights. And it was all around after the Charlie Kirk situation happened here in Utah. It mm-hmm. blew my mind what we had gone through. And having traveled abroad so much in the last 2 years and witnessing other cultures and things that I've seen, I looked at this whole situation and thought, you know, America needs to stand or fall. Like, this is, we got to pay attention to what's going on here.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Because, and so that one I would say was my most difficult emotionally to get through, because I couldn't help but feel that so deeply as I was recording it. At the very end, I've kind of teased myself now, like you were talking about trying to get the scream right. I think adrenaline must have been going that day, because I have just held that last note for so long, and I've tried to do it in the car, and I'm always like 4 to 5 seconds short. Yeah. And so
you're sitting too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're standing and driving, exactly. That's a cool car. Tell me how that not.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So, but that would, I would say, but that one has also been the most touching and the most, I think that people can really relate to and connect to, because as a society, we really need to start pulling together better.
Mm-hmm. So who are some of your influences growing up? Like what kind of music did you listen to growing up?
You know, I loved Olivia Newton-John, and I remember being 5 and 6 years old, and I'm probably going to give my age away here, but I was really into Xanadu. And
my favorite movie when I was 9.
Yeah, Grease, Xanadu. Wow. Yeah.
Maybe 11.
Yeah.
That was directed by Gene Kelly.
Really?
Yeah, and he starred in it as well.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
It was just terrible.
Oh yeah,
sorry.
It was horrible.
Yeah,
but I was 11, and I was like Olivia Newton-John,
and she wore those those ankle thing. Those
ankle warmers.
Yeah, ankle warmers.
they were leg warmers.
Yeah, leg warmers. And
yeah. No, that was a movie, a testament to patience.
Yeah,
kind of like the last movie we saw.
That's right. Patience.
It was very much patience.
A lot of patience with that one.
Whew, that was a long haul.
Well, you know, a funny backstory behind Olivia Newton-John is I feel like she led me from the time I was 5 to train my own vocals on my own, because I would sing with her over and over again. And a funny backstory, that's what led to my discovery. When I was in South Korea, I got invited to a night out with karaoke, and I ended up singing in front of some very prominent people that I didn't know were prominent. And it was very stressful because I'm in the room with idols, and they're all singing, and it's in Korean. And Olivia Newton-John's Hopelessly Devoted was one of the only songs that I could sing completely in English. And that's what led to my discovery in that room with somebody that I didn't even know was who they were.
Thank you, Olivia.
Yeah.
No, that's,
may she rest in peace.
So here's another question for you. What was the very first? So everybody remembers their very first kiss, except for me. I've got a bad memory. But what was the very first album that you ever bought with your own money? Not gifted, but you went to the store and said, "I'm going to buy this."
I want to say it was New Kids on the Block. Because it seems like I was in high school at that. Or maybe junior high.
How about you, Tony? What was the very first album you bought with your very own money?
I'm a very old person.
No.
It was Alan Sherman. I don't know if you know who he is.
Yeah.
My Son the Nut was the album, and that had Hello Mudda, Hello
Fada. Yeah, Hello Mudda.
That was
Hello Fada.
And it was on the sale rack. I got it for like 49 cents.
Wow.
And I kept it till I moved recently, and I can't find it now.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Mine was Best of Blondie.
Debbie Harry.
Yep, Harry, yeah. So that was, that was my very first one that I ever bought with my own money. And I was like, I don't remember. It was a good minute ago.
Well, when you say album.
I think that says I mean, it right there. The record.
A record.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's probably, young enough.
CDs.
Yeah.
Was it a CD or a record
actually,
album?
No, it was a cassette tape.
So 80s.
Yeah, 80s. Yeah.
Now, kids, I know a lot of you don't know what a cassette tape is, but...
They're coming back.
Google it.
Oh, my gosh.
Vinyl is coming back.
Well, I got... I
Look
got
at that.
Oh, you should see my collection. I got this plus about 300 more at my house.
You just can't change the sound that those produce. They're so beautiful.
No.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
A lot of people prefer the record, the vinyl, to even CD because you hear that there's a distortion in the record.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds more human.
It's a physical. Yeah. It's physically audible. It's coming off of something physical, not magnetic, not off laser. It's you're hearing the actual physical notes being hit by the needle. Yeah. It's pretty neat. I have a friend who has this progressive metal album. It's just technically insane, and he pressed an album, and I'm like, how? Can you get all of that sound on one line?
Yeah, well,
it's incredible what all the technology.
I can remember my grandmother playing one in her room that had a big trumpet over the top of it, and
you know, those wind up. She would wind Victrolas.
It. She would. Wind
oh
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that I'm giving away a little bit about my age. That's what makes me such a rare. New introducing debuting artist.
Yeah, when I was a kid, everything was recorded on wax tubes. Yeah, yeah. And wire recording
wax tubes.
Yeah,
you're not that old.
I was on a game show once, and the first prize was fire. That's how old I am.
You get to win fire. It's a lit stick. Carry it with you anywhere in the dark. It's a new flashlight.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about trap music. Like, how do you implement the trap sound into your music?
Well, you know, it just was so natural to me. I don't know how to explain how it came about. I've had people say that I'm bringing the sound of Evanescence to Korea because of how my music is. Mm-hmm. But just, I think with the multi-layering and the sound and the way that my voice is, and I have an incredible range that I didn't even realize I had until they showed me how to control that better. So that's how it came together for me. And it just is a beautiful sound, I think. It's powerful.
Mm-hmm. Now, you brought a song. Let's play. We've got two songs or one? One or two?
Two songs.
Two songs. Yeah. So what song are we going to play next? Or what are we going to start with? Let's try that.
So I just had a release last night, a called Across the Silence.
Okay.
And the next one after this will be Wait What? And a very fun song. Tony was kind of a little bit a part of that one. And I'll explain later how that.
So do you write it? Do you write the music, or do you have somebody produce it and then you sing over it?
Written every song that is streaming on YouTube, on Spotify and Apple Music. I have written every song under my legal name, Allura.
Okay.
And so I've helped produce and put all the effort into all of this. I wanted to be just as embedded in the process as I could be. And I wanted to make sure that I stayed in control of this situation and understood how I was doing it. So I've really been a little bit of a busybody.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Well, let's play it.
Even when the world
Nice. Okay, so tell us a little bit about the meaning behind this song. Like, where did you come up with the lyrics, and what was the basis behind
this?
Well,
Across the Silence is really for those people who have always struggled to get their relationships to come together, to that full circle. Mm-hmm. For me, it came from a personal relationship that really touched me deeply, that almost felt like a soulmate connection. And I'm still very close to that person, but we haven't been able to get past that. And you hear people talk about all the time, twin flames or soulmate connections. Mm-hmm. And that's where that song came from. That's where it originated from.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And then you just carried, and so you took that and then just built the song around that and everything.
Yeah, well, it actually started from a crazy text message or an email that was sent over talking about the distance and the things that we were trying to overcome. And I don't know, it just came to me. And it was like almost poetic, and writing it down in a journal, it just kind of flowed out of me, and I was able to go from there.
Very nice. Yeah. What's something that you would tell somebody that wants to get into the scene, how they could use their experiences? What would suggestions or advice would you give somebody that's looking to write something from their heart?
Well, be real with yourself. And even though you might think that another person or that might seem dumb to you, it may not be dumb or wrong to another person. It may be just the thing that that person needs to hear. Mm-hmm. It goes down with things like, you know, loving yourself, right? I know that everybody knows BTS. They're the biggest boy band in the world, right?
Are they back going? Or
they're coming back together. Yeah,
they're getting back together after their military stint or whatever they had to do.
They're coming back together. There's a concert. Good for them. There's concerts about to go on tour with them. And what's amazing is that was one of my first experiences at how music can really touch so deeply. Mm-hmm. I went to their concert in California before their going into their mandatory military service there. Mm-hmm. And I watched the song called Love Myself, and I watched this entire stadium light up and connect. And there were people there that I heard stories that song had helped them not to commit suicide. That song had helped them to come out of certain things. And so if you're writing something, just realize that sometimes you think it's about you, but it really could touch them. And that's what that K-pop Demon Hunter thing where I was just telling you about, right? The Hanum. It's touching the heart of what they might need that helps them to speak to their inner strength.
Right, right, right. No, I like that. So now that you're here, what's your next steps? What do you want to accomplish from here to get to what is your personal end goal?
Yeah.
With this, where do you want to see yourself here in like 5 years, two
five
years?
Years, 2 years? Well, I think I'm going to continue to grow my reputation and to grow my music. In just a short period of time, my Instagram is Aurelians7. And my Instagram went in 2 months time frame. It shot up to over 53,000 followers in a very short period of time. Wow. So that says something, that there's connection. Sure. There's things that are happening with each release that comes out. My mission is simply just to remind people that their story isn't over. And I think by focusing on how I can be a tool for good, mm-hmm. Everything else will be a blessing along the way. Hopefully it keeps going and I can start performing. And my goal is definitely to start doing stage performances and put together a really beautiful show that is inspiring and uplifting. Mm-hmm. We're down to, I think, by the end of next month, 13 songs will be streaming. I have a total of 17 songs that have been created.
Nice.
So we're going to be dropping that into an album with an actual release that will have the lyrics and everything on CD. And then there'll be a mini that comes after that. And it takes 3 albums really to brand yourself. And so mm-hmm. I'm in that process right now and loving every minute of it and hoping that the journey just keeps going as it's meant to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What kind of advice would you give people where you started to take the next step? What have you learned so far? Mm-hmm. In your process that you can give advice to people that are following you?
Yeah. the one thing that I had somebody tell me years ago, I worked on the film sets, a lot of film sets. That's one of the reasons I know Tony. And somebody once told me in the industry, keep it real with who you go in with. Mm. You know, because those are going to be your backbone. Those are going to be the people, which is hence the reason Tony's sitting here beside me. He's one of my best friends. Keep it real with who you go in with, and stay humble.
Yeah.
Right? And don't let it go to your head, because
that's tough for a lot of people.
Yes, it is.
They get that. They even get just a little taste of like local famous.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's wild.
No.
Yeah. Like what have you experienced becoming local famous, Tony?
I'm not local famous.
All right, you're nationally famous. We already know he's world. We already know Tony's world famous.
You know, I've over the years, I've been doing celebrity interviews for over 50 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I I've interviewed a lot of musicians, of Paul McCartney, Elton John, John Prine. And the one thing that they always say, and I remember this from a cat named Harry Chapin. I don't know if you know who that is. He wrote The Cats in the Cradle and stuff like that. Harry told me, he said, always, always write about the things you know. Because if you write about the things you don't know, it's a lie and you can't sing a lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And those are very important things. But when people want to start, everybody's starting place is different.
Yeah.
And the only thing you could say is, do not let anyone tell you what your dream should be.
Oh, yeah.
Work as hard as you can, but remember that every road leads you to where you want to be. And in my life, I've had jobs, you know, I was a chicken killer, you know, in a chicken farm, you know, for a while. And then, you know, bus tables and do this. But every job I had, I learned something from.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here I am years later, you know, still doing what I love to do.
How did you go from killing chickens to screening films? Now you've got my curiosity piqued. You're like, you know what? I can probably do better.
No, it wasn't that. I moved from L.A. and I was actually a director at KQED in L.A., and I directed pledge drives and things like that. And I was in the industry, but then I had a terrible divorce and I wanted to come to Utah because my family was out here.
Mm-hmm.
So I came back to Utah and I was waiting to get on a radio program. And I waited and waited. And finally, the only job I could get was killing chickens. And it wasn't a great job. Believe me, it's not as fun as it sounds, you know.
I couldn't imagine it sounding really funny to start.
It was terrible and even worse for the chickens. But
kind of.
Yeah.
Did you let them run around for a little bit?
No.
I know. That's stupid.
Can't name them. And then then the call came through and I got onto Channel 2. Out here as their film critic, and I did a lot of other work like editing and stuff.
Yeah.
But you, again, every road, every step you take, it's got to lead you to where you want to be. And you can't get mad at yourself for, you know, surviving. You have to survive.
Yeah.
So, you know, even while I was at Channel 2 here in Utah, I was, you know, doing other jobs, trying to, you know, supplement that income until finally I got to a point where people wanted me, you mm-hmm. know, and so that's what you have to work for. You have to work for a name, a reputation. And there are moments in my life where I had an offer to do something and I said yes. And then a bigger offer came and you have to take the first one that came.
You have to start somewhere.
But your reputation is that, you know, I'm a man of my word. I'm not going to quit this to do the better job.
Yeah.
And it starts to build that way. So
what's your and last question for you? I know, I'm sorry.
Really?
I know. This is the last year of Sundance.
Yeah, 2026 is going to be the last year.
How
then
are you,
it moves to Boulder, Colorado.
But are you going to end up going to Boulder for it?
No. And I don't think many people are. Boulder, Colorado is beautiful. I mean, it's got a lot going for it. But, you know, this is like shutting off an engine mm-hmm. that's nothing wrong with it and then putting a new engine in a car, and you get all these little problems at the very beginning.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to give them probably 3 years to get it right in Boulder.
Yeah.
And also traveling there is going to be difficult.
Yeah.
And also, you know, Sundance, having it in their backyard, I've been to, this is my 41st one.
Oh, wow.
I was going as the U.S. Film Festival when it first started, and then, so I've been, you know, there a long, in fact, that's where I met her. Yeah. I don't know which name to use today.
Aurelian.
We met at last year's Sundance, and we formed a wonderful friendship. And, you know, that's what I love about Sundance, is you sit and you meet people, you can have a cup of coffee with somebody.
Yeah.
Ron Howard or whoever, and just chat.
Just sit down and have a chat with Ron Howard. Okay, only Tony can say well, that stuff.
Ron and I are the same age.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you so know. You grew up with this, so you watched Opie at your age and just going, damn, I wish my dad was Andy?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't. But no. I've been in and out. I've been an actor. I've been, you know, a director. I've been, I'm a screenwriter. Over the years, you kind of learn how to, like you, you're a drummer, you're a guitar player, you're a singer, and then you sweep the floor because, you know, that's how you earn your keep in this business. You know, the movie business, I know we got your time, but.
No, it's all good.
The movie business is still the only business that you have to apprentice to. You can go to college for years and learn about the technical stuff, but until you get on a set and your first job is like, oh, well, you know, get me some coffee.
Yeah.
You start to understand how this business kind of works.
Right.
You know, one of the things, I remember Tony and I had a conversation about this. There's a gentleman that we've been working with who's building his acting career. His name is Brendan Wild. And Brendan and I were talking about this a couple weeks ago about how, even in my case, I've worn multiple hats. And sometimes we do in this industry. We will wear multiple hats. And you might be like, why are you doing this? But the one thing I've loved about Tony is that he has always kept that gratitude, and he's mentored me in that you know, going forward, you have to have a gratitude and a humility and be grateful for those works that come to you, because that is where you're meant to be, that's what's meant for you, and there's lessons in that, and you can't go any other way but up with it if you take it the right way.
There are no small parts,
no,
just small paychecks.
Yes.
Facts. Very true. Okay, we're going to play the next song, Wait What?
Wait What? Yeah, this was inspired by how easily I think a lot of us lose ourselves in the validation of the digital world. And it kind of started as a joke, me and Tony kind of joking around about, I guess I would say it a lot, like, wait, what? Like, what? And then I found myself
morning I wake up, wait,
yeah,
what?
Wait, what? Yeah. And I wanted the song to feel like a wake-up call because it's fun, it's catchy, but it's also layered in those multi-layered meanings that I was talking about. And my process has always been about weaving those deeper truths into the melodies and hoping that it will help people understand. And a lot of people get this dopamine rush by being on social media and getting the validation. I mean, even
I got a heart.
Yeah. And it's like you see it and it is a dopamine hit because it does feel good. When my numbers shot up from 40 followers on my Aurelian's account on Instagram to over, I think at one point it jumped to 60,000, and then there was some sort of a glitch in the system that they emailed me about, but I was like, wait, what? Like,
the glitch was, hey, you're becoming successful. We got to tone you back a little bit. We can't let you.
No, that was weird. But apparently they do purges on bots. And so.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. So things like that happen. They had bots attach themselves to what they explained to me. Bots attach themselves to surges. And so, but yeah, I expect the numbers to go up. I just had that new release, and Wait What is coming out here pretty soon. So you guys enjoy it. It's very fun.
I love it. All right, well, let's play it.
Wait What? Updated draft. He left, swipe right, another viral trend. They're selling me a dream I don't even comprehend. AI girlfriend talking, I forgot she's not real. Wait, what? I'm where I go. I caught some feelings I'm not supposed to feel. Brains on overload, dopamine buffet. Ooh, we're chasing back. Like it's currency to pay. Scroll, tap, repeat. I can't look away. Wait, what? I'm where I go. I've been here scrolling all day. Trending topic.
watching. Wait, what? Mirror selfie moment, chasing pixel fame. They changed the whole filter, but the face stayed the same. Hashtag perfect, but nothing's legit. Wait, what? I'm where I go? How are we falling for it? Life's like oxygen, we're addicted to the glow. Talking to the void, hoping someone says hello. Reality's glitching, I'm losing the plot. Wait, what? I'm where I go? Are we real or not? Wait, what? Did they really just post that? Wait, what? World's gone mad and I'm lost in the cut. Wait, what? Yeah, yeah. Go too deep, can't climb back up. This whole life is glitching. Wait, what? 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 This whole life is glitching. Wait, what?
And we're back.
And
we're back.
Wait, what?
And wait a minute. Yes, and we're back. Yeah, so I love it. What is what's something you would want to take away the absolute most from this song? What do you want the listeners to take away from your music and or this song in particular?
Well, from this song just in particular, I kind of joke around about like a girlfriend I'm catching feelings I'm not supposed to feel. I've even seen things where people are getting boyfriends that are like AI boyfriends to feel that comfort. Just realize that you cannot let this technology and these AI systems replace true meaningful connection and relationships. Look for those opportunities to get out of the house, get out of the screen, put that phone down and step back into real life. That's what a lot of us are needing, I think, is connection and humanity and that feeling of understanding. I think I read something in a psychology book a couple weeks ago that, you know, that to avoid anxiety and depression, the average person needs 4 hugs a day. And how many people are so stuck in their phone that they don't get that? And so
their hug is their AI.
Their AI. They're you know.
We need to open up hug shacks.
Hug shacks.
Hug shacks. Oh, yeah. COVID spreaders in is fact, what we call them.
Didn't you used to live next door to the hug shacks?
I did.
Don and Cecilia.
Yeah. Yeah. Hug they shack. Were they nice were, they people. Were beautiful, wonderful people. Yeah. And you just couldn't get enough of them. It's like a Trump hug.
And, you know.
Watch out. Watch out.
People are a little bit upset at my well-known affair with Tilly Norwood, the AI actress. And we're happy.
Isn't that just such a thing, man? I cannot believe there is actually an AI actor that's trying to, that there's trying
And there's
to
an
sign.
AI acting agency to, you know, to. Yeah, that's so weird.
See, I knew this day was coming. I knew that it was like there has to be a law in place or at least a lawyer that says, hey, you know what? Your face and your likeness cannot be duplicated
through
AI. They do
that
AI.
In Switzerland that now that your face and your... It's,
you own your
you own
face.
It. Yeah,
and if
you,
yeah you try to steal my face, then I'm going to steal your money.
But, you know, somebody needs to tell these young women and young men that they're AI boyfriends and girlfriends. I call them cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
You're dating a cartoon.
Yeah.
And it's not real. Might as well date Felix the Cat or Bugs Bunny.
I just feel like, you know, when the pandemic hit, the boulder hit the pond, the water sprayed everywhere, everybody was up in the air, it comes back down, and we're living this ripple effect that's slowly starting to tame down. Yeah. But now with AI in the mix, and because everybody was so isolated... And then just trying to recover from that. Because, I mean, if you think about it, that was only 5 years ago. It seems like a decade, but it was only 5 years. And yet, I think people are now...
Well, people are lonely.
I think
people are lonely.
Yeah.
And they're missing connection. And
that's what your song's bringing to the table.
Yeah, all of this music, that's what it's designed to do. Like everything from people dealing with divorce to dealing with, you know, what I call, one of my songs is called System Error. I mean, it's about the errors, like just what you're talking about, that we're dealing with within our society and our system. And we have to come back full circle and start being there for each other in a better and a healthier way. Love is the ultimate winner in all of this. If we can just drop things, and I know that since I've been here back in the USA, I see where so many people will stand around videotaping something instead of intervening in a very bad situation. And
oh yeah,
you know, we've got to get
well
past
if you
that.
Intervene anymore, then yeah. you're liable.
Yeah.
You end up being liable or part of the victim.
Yeah,
the victimhood. Yeah, you know,
this world is just going crazy, and I hope it goes back to being sane, because when you could press a button and have a computer do a movie for you,
that's,
or you could press a button and have a computer write a song and have it, that is not talent. That
no.
is stealing from other sources.
Mm-hmm.
You need to pick up a guitar, you need to pick up a, you know, pick up a piano. And hand me the piano and work out what music is.
Yeah.
You know, because your show is all dedicated to music.
Yeah.
And people who touch a button and create something that is not talent.
We won't actually, so for our festival and my radio station, we won't take full 100% AI. It has to be at least a minimum of 50% human interaction. And if you have AI in there, we won't accept anything under 50%, and it has to, there has to be either written by a human or you know, performed by a human with accents of AI, whatever they have in there, but it can't actually be it's insane.
I know that some people are using AI to create beats to their music.
Yeah, and I can understand a drum beat, and
it's a tool.
And the one thing that I look at when it comes to AI is that, in a way, and I look at the long haul. I look at futures,
right.
And so AI is only going to, like, it's for the short fix. Yep. I want this image. I want this music right now. Whatever, you know. And so I don't want to create it. I just want to blah blah blah. But if what's going to happen is that no matter what, you can throw out an image. Plop it on your screen, write it here.
Mm-hmm.
You as a human can always go in and improve it. And there's nothing, even just a little line mm-hmm. here and there, we'll always see the image no matter how, it could be the Mona Lisa, we'll go back in and we'll add color to it. We'll do our own as human beings. AI will never do that. I think what'll end up happening in the end is that though AI may take over a lot, the human experience, the creation that a human makes, will only make it that much more valuable.
Yeah, we need to value that.
And so when a human does it, I think it's going to create more value for the artist because it is 100% human made. So.
Well, one of the things that we did with my song called Lost in the Night is we're developing an anime. But it was something that I drew, and then they animated it through AI. And it's almost done, but it's beautiful. And a lot of people might ask, like, well, why do you have a dragon, like, on your symbol? Like, my symbol is, on Aurelian, is a dragon. Mm-hmm. And it's because I was born the year of the fire dragon. And the dragon is in my anime that we've used with AI. And
I love
it's
that.
Beautiful. Like, so some things I can see it being super helpful. It was a drawing that
if it's used as a tool.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, but I go back to when Kimball and Wurlitzer came out with their press a button on their organs. And then we have, we've always had player pianos. That's not AI.
Yeah.
Some mm-hmm. human had to write all that. There's a difference, though, in having something to help you and then having something to do it.
Yeah. Oh.
And then you take
something
credit.
To help you versus something that does everything for you.
Yeah. I get that a lot too. Like recently I posted some pictures online and I had somebody ask me if they were AI, and I was like, no, I've lost 45 pounds. Like, and I've worked hard. Give me some effort here.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, it's crazy how much people are even questioning their own reality now.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah. Well, our festival, we started getting, you know, AI movies, and it was like just picture images or glitchy, and you just couldn't watch more than like 15 seconds of it because it was so glitchy that it would just like strobe light. And now it's virtually impossible to tell. It's just like if they're talking a little bit in the mouth, but one more year and it's over.
Yeah.
But tell us, where can people find you? Where can they buy your music? Where can, you know, how can people help raise you up and get your name out there?
So I'm streaming on 23 platforms across the world. Right now, the most main platforms I think that the United States would be comfortable with is YouTube, iTunes, Apple, and Spotify.
Nice.
I have, by the end of next month, there'll be 13 live songs going. The way that I've decided to do this is release singles of each of them and then compile them into an album that will be sold.
Well, you're doing it like the industry's doing it. Singles first, and then yes. If it does well, then they just throw
I've
them on
I've had amazing
album,
so. Training in Korea, and people will hear Korean in my music, too. And so when the lyrics, when you go to look at the lyrics on everything, you can see the translation.
Oh, nice.
Like on Wait What, the song you just heard, Kamarado means, you know, wait what? Like, it's saying it twice, but it's saying it in Korean. So there is going to be hopefully some stores locally that I'm working with right now. I'm in the process of talking with them about releasing the whole album, which will come with translation to the music and lyrics. Awesome. And photographs and postcards, just like what you would see in Korea, because I have followed the actual K-pop method of the entertainment industry to build my career.
Yeah.
So I'm currently following that and really excited
about
our trip.
Well, it's working. You got 50,000 followers.
Yes,
so
yes. It works. And that's the thing. It takes a team, but it works. And I'm excited to help Tony with our we have a convention coming up in Dallas that we're in the process. So please stay tuned for when that's going to be coming out.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we're bringing in some very
heavy hitters. We're going to
heavy hitters. Yes. That are going to be teaching along the lines of both the USA and some of these ideas behind how in the film industry, you can also build your skill set and actually become to take notice and be a credible in the industry.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. Yeah. Do you want to give a shout out to anybody on your team or just anybody in your heart?
Let me think. I definitely want to say a big thank you to my manager, Jinhee Wild, from Global Elite. She has been incredible with helping me to navigate the waters in all of this. And to my children, I love you.
So that's your Academy Award speech, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
There it is. Yeah. And where can we find you on, like, so what's your social on Instagram?
So on Instagram, I'm under Aurelians7. So a lot of people might have a difficulty with the spelling of the name, but it's Aurelians7. Seven, the number 7.
Okay.
And you can find me there. And I'm streaming, like I said, on all platforms. I am on Facebook as well, but not as many hitters go to Facebook anymore as much as they do.
Yeah.
Instagram or TikTok even. So yeah.
TikTok.
I'm everywhere.
TikTok. He's everywhere. Yeah.
Facts. Do you even have a TikTok account?
No, because I don't like TikTok. I
was
going to
say,
I would have been
pretty impressed if you were on TikTok.
TikTok, and there's so many different things like that. But I'm on Instagram and Facebook and X and awesome. Blue Sky. And I have a new little announcement because I'm going to be on this station now.
Yes, we've got you here. We're going to be loading all your stuff up. I'm just putting it all together this weekend. So.
Crazy, huh?
Yeah, I put it out there. I'm going to put you on the board here. So, yeah.
Well, when we get our seminar going, and that's up in Dallas, we'd love to come back and.
Oh yeah,
you should podcast from there. You should come out.
Well,
oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Buy me a ticket. I'm on it.
Okay, that could be done. That could be arranged.
No, that's fantastic. Yeah. I love it. So, well, thank you so much for coming today, and really looking forward to the progress, seeing like your success and the growth and everything. I appreciate it.
Thank you, John, so much for having us out.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. All right. Well, thank you. Well, that's it. I'm Johnny C. You are listening to The Cat's Den, and you'll catch me here every Monday through Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. And you can find this podcast. Obviously, you're listening to it right here on the podcast channel on UMR. Have a fantastic day. Much love. Take care.